Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, a lot of people have the debate, the second debate, the final debate, with President Donald Trump and, or I'll say versus, Vice President, former Vice President Joe Biden. And I'll just make a comment here. I saw something in a catalog, and I bought several their T-shirts. And so I was wearing a T-shirt that, and underneath I had a white shirt with a collar, long sleeve, and it says, I'm politically incorrect. And so I've given a number of these out to close friends, and they just got a hoot on it. And so I was with two friends this evening and almost invited myself to come over. In fact, I think I did. And so they had their shirts there. We all had our shirts on, politically incorrect, and we have the long white blouses underneath. But I had a great time. And what I thought was interesting, we were watching on a major TV network the debate, and then they came back, and it was like, well, who won? And so they had the percentages pretty strong for Biden winning and Trump. Right, driving back to my home, I was listening to a radio broadcast that had done the debate live, and it's not a Christian broadcast or Christian station. It covers five states, and they were saying Trump won, and we were very, very strong about that. And again, it's a secular station. And then I came in just before the program, turned the table, I wrote a note, you know, cable TV, cable station, CNN. They said, first I saw that it was like they had a focus group, and there were zero for Trump, nine for Biden, two were a draw. And then when I walked back to come to my little retrofitted studio in my home because of the COVID-19 crisis, it was 53% Biden, 39% Trump. And those were the only figures that I saw. What I'm saying is, well, it's kind of dependent on who was there, who was listening, through what filter. I'm going to be very candid. When I was hearing earlier that once Biden is on a debate stage, he's just going to end up looking, you know, dumb, foolish, whatever the negativity would be. And I did not think that. I did not think that he would appear that way to the public. I thought, if you keep saying that, there's such a low bar anyway there, that any success whatsoever will appear like a victory. Very candidly, I thought of the two debates on this one, Biden did his best. I also think Trump did his best. But I think that Biden did not appear to have this dementia that is often kind of assumed, and there are different ways that it's expressed, even though I do see a difference between the younger Biden and the Biden of today. But my point is, I have always felt that that's not wise to, I just don't respond to hitting somebody on an area of physical, whether it's a physical disability or whatever. That's just my opinion. I thought it was fascinating that I thought that there was not going to be any mention of the charges, the new charges, not what had been assumed previously, but it's the family of Hunter. Well, it's Joe Biden's family, you know, specifically Hunter Biden and others. And I think that they're just learning some things that are coming out every day now, where FBI has the computer and of Hunter Biden, and I think there are more things that will be coming about. But I can see why people would say that Biden won. If you look at the two, it depends on what information you're listening to. If it's the fracking, if it's I was very surprised that at the question, and I don't have it written down exactly, but basically it's eliminating oil, the oil business. And I know it's like, well, we'll work that out. I think people have no concept of all the, I'm going to use the term blessing, that oil provides in our economy. If you look at machines of all kinds that are made with derivatives of oil, I think it's fascinating to listen and learn.
Do you have a heart for people who are hurting and broken? You want to throw them a lifeline, but sometimes you just don't know how. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training designed just for you. Using video-based instruction from leading experts, plus relevant case studies and interactive exercises, you can discover how to effectively provide support, encouragement, and spiritual care. The ultimate goal is to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This 10-week Lifeline to Hope program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church and community. Be the person in your church that brings together caregivers to become better equipped to meet the hurting. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
In these challenging times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, and fear due to the unknowns a global pandemic can bring to daily life. What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear is a free download from Hope for the Heart. You'll discover what Scripture says on these issues and see how God cares about the struggles we face in life. Simply go to hopefortheheart.org/COVID to download your free resource titled, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? It's quick and easy to get your digital copy of this free resource that is filled with hope for these troubling times. That title again is, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? You can find it at hopefortheheart.org/COVID. That's hopefortheheart.org/COVID.
This program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to this rebroadcast of Hope in the Night. We hope the content of this program will bring you biblical hope and practical help. Please note that the special offers that occur during the program may not be available through this rebroadcast. Now, here's Hope in the Night with June Hunt.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night, the ministry of Hope for the Heart. And we're here because of your prayers and support, and we thank you. Our care teams are ready to take your calls at 800-488-HOPE. And they can guide you to God's hope through our resources and pray with you. The number again, 800-488-4673. Now, if you'd like to speak with June about a specific situation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call 800-NIGHT-17, a different number from the resource number, but this is 800-NIGHT-17. When you call, just follow the prompts, leave us a detailed message, and we'll get right back to you and get you scheduled for the next available Hope in the Night. It's 800-644-4817.
June, you mentioned as we talked off the air about the song "Would You." It's on the "Whisper of My Heart" CD. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
I love this song. Many times I will sing this because of the types of topics that we have. There was a man who called our ministry actually a few months ago, but I just remember it so poignantly. He said, "My life is wasted. My life is wasted. I've done everything wrong." He said he was 50 some odd years old. And he said, I said, No, it's not wasted. You've just learned what not to do. You've learned what doesn't work. That's highly valuable. Now you can start doing the things that will work based on God's word and God's will. And when you do that, you're going to have a testimony for those who are choosing to live life in a wrong way and how to turn and live the right way. And that is by dependence on Christ, giving him control of your life, and then looking, just cooperating with God. This is what he says to do, and you just do what he says. And you can't go wrong when you do what God says is right.
That's a good word for any of us. I'm going to write that down.
Thank you.
That's good. Well, we want to get right to our caller for tonight, and we welcome Mary to our program.
Well, Mary, hello. Welcome to Hope.
Hi, June.
Hi. How can we help you?
Hello?
Yes. How can we help you?
I have a situation that I need some help with.
All right.
So I am a Christian, and when I called early, I was in this relationship with this man who said he was also a Christian. We don't live in the same state. He lives out of town, and he came. When I talked to him about Jesus and, you know, his relationship status with Jesus, it was always very vague, but he kept saying that, you know, he was a Christian, he believed in Jesus and all that. So he came to visit me a couple of weeks ago, and he wanted us to have sex. And I said no, because, you know, I remember listening to your program a long time ago, and I heard you said that any sexual relationship outside of marriage is a violation, is a sin. And I kind of kept that in my mind, you know, whenever I got into relationship, that, you know, sexual relationship outside of marriage is a sin. But he kept saying, no, it's not a sin, and God created it, and God wants us to be happy, and God wants us to.
Okay.
And so anyway, we ended up having sex. It wasn't consensual. It was like a struggle. I just felt bullied. I felt awful. At the end of it, I just felt like I had to, you know, I didn't want to continue this relationship because I feel like it was violating me. It was violating God's law.
Yes. Yes. So, what is your question for me then?
My question for you is that I want to end it, but I still feel like I want to be in a relationship with him. So I don't know. I'm conflicted. I'm really conflicted. Like, what do I do? Since he left, we texted, and I said, you know, what we did was wrong, and he keeps saying there's nothing wrong with it, and, you know, we're going to get married someday, so what's wrong with, you know, us having sex if you know, I'm going to be his wife?
Well,
it's it's not wrong.
Okay. So in your heart of hearts, what do you believe is right in God's sight?
What I believe is that sex outside of marriage is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that, yes, God created it, but he created it for us to have in the confines of marriage.
Mm, yes. Well, let's go back to what you said first. You were talking about, you said, I'm a Christian, and you said, I was in a relationship with this man who said he was a Christian, and you said he was not real definite, but you said he believed in Jesus. Well, you know, the enemy of God, Satan, he believes in Jesus. The Bible says that the demons believe, and they tremble. But that doesn't mean that they have yielded their will to the will of Jesus, have they?
No.
Okay. Just because somebody says, I'm a Christian. By the way, I remember saying I was a Christian. Now, I had no idea even what that meant. I was in a church, a Christian denomination, but nobody even took a Bible. I never knew one scripture. I never heard about having Jesus, receiving him as Lord and Savior. That was never taught in the church where I grew up. It was more of a do-good kind of church, be a good person. And yet, it was of a Christian denomination. Does this make sense to you, what I'm saying?
It does, yes.
So a lot of people claim it, and I was sincere. I was also sincerely wrong. I mean, I wasn't trying to be misleading. Now, my only point there is just because somebody says I'm a Christian, if I were to say I'm a dog, and I could even go, you know, I could bark, or I could go, you know, make a sound like a meow. I'm not a cat. I could sound like a cat. That doesn't mean a thing. The truth is, what is our genuine identity? Have we humbled our hearts and received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior? And the whole point there is giving him control of our lives. The man that you've been in a relationship with, sexually, he is not a follower of Jesus in terms of Jesus kept the law, kept the whole law, and the Bible is very, very clear. In fact, let me give you the first instance of the sexual relationship. This could be helpful. It's in Genesis, of course, which is the first book of the Bible, the second chapter. In Genesis 2, verse 24, a man will leave father and mother and be united to his girlfriend? No, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The one flesh is the sexual union. So again, a man will leave father and mother and be united to his wife. There's the marriage part. And they will become one flesh. So the order is, there is a husband-wife relationship followed by, not preceding, but followed by the sexual union, which is intended for bonding in marriage and or the making of children, but for certain intended for bonding in marriage. And that's why it's very challenging when there is a sexual union without the marriage relationship, because it skews objectivity. It's appealing to a sexual passion, and it is a feel-good experience intended for marriage, though. And there are some ramifications. Ramifications of, it depends on what you're wanting in life. But what I'm hearing most of all is you don't seem to have the peace of God about having a sexual relationship with this man.
I don't.
By the way, you know, when you think about what kind of partner would you have? Marriage partner, or anyone that you're with, does that person bring the best out in you or pull you down? Does this person lift you up or pull you down? This is one of the characteristics of you judging who you should have in your life. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, we are to sharpen one another. Well, are you sharpened or are you dulled? So what do you think is the true result of having this man in your life? Are you bettered or not?
I'm not.
Okay. So if you are wise, then you need to end the relationship. And I know you said you want to end it. Well, you need to make the decision to do so out of yielding your life to the Lord Himself.
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions about these topics or any number of topics, we have over 100 biblical counseling keys for living, to address them. Call our care center right now at 800-488-HOPE, and they'll pray with you and help you access our resources. Again, that's 800-488-4673. Also, listen for Hope for the Heart. It's our half-hour program on most of these stations. And next time on Hope for the Heart, you know, as a parent, you want to see your children succeed, but it's easy to cross the line from guiding to actually controlling each step they take. June Hunt shows a father how to refocus his parenting style in order to build to his kids. And it's a lesson in love, and it's next time on Hope for the Heart. And again, it's on most of these stations. Check your station's listings for that. We want to get back to our program and to our caller, Mary.
Mary, this man has been saying to you, there's nothing wrong with premarital sex or extramarital sex. It's called several things. But it's sex outside of the bounds of marriage. So, at times, have you thought, well, I wonder if that's true?
I never believe it's true. I read the Bible and I know it's not true, so I never believe that that is
true. Okay. Now, there are people who have been taught this, and in terms of the sexual behavior today, more Americans think premarital sex is permissible. It's okay. And basically, we'll have three or more sexual partners before marrying. However, based on research, it's very interesting. I've seen several studies of this, and I mean, for a long time I've seen studies, but the most recent studies still show that there's an increase in divorce, specifically when a person has premarital sexual partners, depending on if it's one or more. But the point is, it does not give marital stability. In fact, there are those who will actually do a come on. They'll say, oh, well, I've got to test out our sexual experience with one another before we marry, just to make sure that blah, 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 you know, just to make sure we're compatible, all this. These are come-ons. But candidly, when you look at the statistics, and there have been many studies on this, you find that there's instead those who do not have other sexual partners, where there's a woman with, the husband she marries, they are the least likely to divorce, whereas those with other sexual partners, they will have a much greater propensity for divorce. So it doesn't at all give marital stability. And what's unfortunate is when there's someone who is wanting to basically seduce a person, to lure someone into a sexual relationship, they'll give false information. They'll say things that are not true. They'll present this as, oh, this is not true. No. There's nothing wrong with this. Well, it is not right in God's sight. And I think he's the one who gets to determine. He made us, and he made us for eternity. In terms of, we will spend, we who are Christians will have an opportunity to spend eternity with him. And it is not going to be something that we would want to experience by flagrantly violating what the one who created us, the one who loves us unconditionally, the one who has a plan and purpose for our lives. This is not in any way what he would have for you to do to compromise. So, you have said that this man does not bring the best out in you, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, many times, I can tell you, there are females who will know this, and yet they'll drag out this relationship for quite some time because they don't know what to do. Now, do you feel confident about taking steps to say, well, no, I'm better at, let me ask it another way. So, what do you think is right for you to do in light of our discussion?
I think the right thing to do is to end it. I have actually taken some steps because I told him that, and I don't think I wanted to invest any more time in this relationship.
Uh-huh.
He kept, texting and calling, and then I finally got the courage to block his number.
Wow. Good for you.
Reaching out to me. But I still feel conflicted. I'm like, I don't know, should I unblock it? Should I give him another chance? So yeah, that's where I'm at. But I did take steps, but I'm still feeling a little conflicted about it.
Okay, define why you feel conflicted. State what you think is the real reason that you would consider unblocking. You've blocked his number. And let's be clear. Why did you choose to block his number?
Because he kept, after I sent the text about, I didn't feel like, this was the right relationship. And mm-hmm. I didn't feel like, I wanted to invest any more time.
Mm-hmm.
He kept, sending messages. I love you. I want to be with you. And it was like every day, like bombarding me. And I'm like, I've had issues in the past with just ending relationships. So I think this is one of the things that, because I took the step, I feel like, I should have waited on him to take the step.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like...
No, wait a minute. Let's be clear. You said he said, I love you. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me, if you love someone, do you do what's best for them, or do you do what's worse for them?
You do what's best for them.
Right. So, you and I know that having a sexual relationship outside of marriage is not what is best for him or you, right?
Right.
So, he did not love you. He says, I love you. I think what he says is saying, I lust you. I have lust toward you. Love will wait to give. Lust can't wait to get. Lust can't wait to get. Love can wait to give. See, if he loved you, he would do what's best for you. And he's already proven that he doesn't do what's best for you, even as he's tried to continue to pressure you. And you told me, because I wrote it down, you said, I felt bullied. It wasn't consensual. Meaning you knew, in other words, a person who loves you, if there is a sense of, I don't think this is right, that within itself, right there, should be enough. If somebody cares for another person, they don't just try to get sex out of another person. That is not love, is it?
Yes, Joan, you are correct. And I think in my heart of heart, I know it's just the glimpse, or I think, to be truthful, the glimpse or the hope of, you know, marriage, that I keep thinking, okay, maybe we'll get married and it will be okay. I think that's the part I was holding on to. That would let me even think to enter back into any kind of conversation with him. But
well, let me ask him.
Deep in
terms
my
of
heart.
Let's talk about what kind of marriage partner would you want to have? If you're talking about marriage, do we assume that you're talking about a marriage relationship that would last for a lifetime?
Yes.
Okay. So do you really want to marry someone who manipulates you sexually? Is this the kind of man you would want to choose?
No.
Is a bully, you said I felt bullied, is this the kind of man you would want to be in a lifetime relationship with? Someone who would bully you?
No.
So really, he himself has, I'm going to use the term, selected out of the relationship. By virtue of what he has chosen to do, he's not bringing the best out in you. In fact, he's wanting you to violate your values. Isn't integrity something that you would want in a marriage partner?
Definitely.
Okay, integrity means being the same in the dark as you are in the light. Being the same in the dark as you are in the light. It brings the best out in those who have integrity at the core of their character. And that's what you want.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common, a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people. Connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Listening to Hope in the Night, a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. Our care teams are ready to take your calls at 800-488-HOPE, and they'll help guide you to God's hope through our resources and pray with you. One resource that you may get in touch with is Sexual Integrity, Balancing Your Passion with Purity, if you deal with some of the issues that we've talked about in tonight's call. So that is one that you may want to talk about as well. That number is 800-488-4673. To get on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, it's a different phone number. It's 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. One more thing I want to make sure that you are aware of. We are announcing our Biblical Counseling Intensive. That just sounds like a lot of information will be, and it will be, on that weekend, October 25th and 26th. The topic is anxiety, calming the fearful heart. And did you know, by the way, that anxiety and fear are closely related but not identical? Fear sees a threat, but anxiety imagines one. Anxiety disorders are commonplace in the U.S., affecting nearly 40 million adults. So if you would, go to find some more information on that at hopefortheheart.org/BCI. That event will be October 25th and 26th here at the Hope Center in Plano, Texas. Only $20. That includes all your materials, and we will be talking about that more in days to come, but do go and check that out. Now let's get back to our conversation with Mary.
Well, Mary, what I was impressed with is that you did take action. You made statements that basically were boundaries, and you even blocked him because you did say to me you felt bullied. You felt pressured. You felt pressured. No one wants to feel pressured, especially to violate their conscience. So what I want to know is, what do you think God is telling you to do?
I think God is telling me that this is not the right relationship for me. And yeah, that's the biggest takeaway that I get from it. It's that this is not, whenever I have the feeling of, you know, I want to, as I said, think about, you know, even unblocking the number to give him, like, access, because I wouldn't call him anymore. I know that.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, I think God is saying that this is not the right relationship with me because of how it makes me feel at the end. You know, I really feel like, you know, when I go asking for forgiveness, I just feel like this is just so wrong.
Now, you know, if he had been repentant in terms of saying, you're right, I know this isn't God's best for either of us, then you would have something to work with. Because we've all blown it, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But instead, he's just rationalizing. He's changing the truth, or maybe he doesn't know the truth, but I would question that. I question that he is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's not doing what is right in God's sight. And, you know, very candidly, the Bible says not everyone, this is Jesus who's speaking here in Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus went on to say, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, this is again Jesus speaking, then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So be very aware. Just because somebody says, I'm a Christian, the evidence will be with the fruit of righteousness, of doing what's right in God's sight. Not, and I'm going to use this as a clarification here, there are those who say, I'm a Christian, because they're trying to manipulate to get someone who is a Christian to be drawn to them. But if they have a motive to sexualize the relationship, that is not in any way love. That's not the kind of person you would want to spend the rest of your life with, because he'll just be self-serving. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with you, June, because this happened on a Friday. I think it was a Friday he came. And then on a Sunday morning, I texted him the address of my church. Like, you know, I was basically inviting him to, you know, come to my church, because as I told you, he doesn't live here.
Uh-huh.
And he had all this excuse, oh, there's something, my sister is sick, and I'm making calls. And then, so he didn't come. And
yeah,
the coupled with what happened on Friday, at that time, I realized that this was not going to be a good thing. So, yeah. I think I know in my heart, and I know what God wants me to do. I had called you earlier right after that, hoping to talk to you then, just to help me to make the decision, I guess. But I made the decision, and I, after speaking with you, I know that I made the right decision, and I'm just honest by that.
I'm very proud of you, because, you know, there are all kinds of things that we can be indulging in. You know, it's kind of like, we're all tempted just in different areas. What tempts one person doesn't tempt another. I'm not tempted to do crack cocaine. I don't ever want to start. And I've known I never want to, you know, be on drugs. But there are those, that is the number one area of their temptation. But we're all tempted. I never will forget, years ago, I was a college student, and I read an article written by Billy Graham. He said, never take credit for not falling into a temptation that never tempted you in the first place. Never take credit for not falling into a temptation that never tempted you in the first place. Just like there's no credit for me that I'm not on drugs. It's never tempted me because I never wanted to put myself in that situation. I never wanted to start because I do believe I could have a drug habit if I had allowed myself. But I just knew life's hard enough as it is, and this is not a Miss Goody Two-Shoes kind of super sanctimonious thing. It's just I didn't want to put myself in harm's way. And it's better not to start if I know something is wrong for me anyway. Now, there are areas where I have been tempted and I have chosen wrong, not just once, but repeated. That's the nature of temptation. And we've all had areas like that. And so the key for you and me is to say, Lord, it's not the activity, it's of I won't do this or I will do this. I want to be yielded to you. In fact, Jesus is the one who said, he put the priority where it needs to be. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Then he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, you can do what's natural for you, but all that God has planned for you, my friend, listen to me, all that God has planned for you, he knows how to fulfill you. And honey, he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So the good news is this, since he is the one who has the plan for you, since he loves you unconditionally, Jeremiah 31:3 says, and this is amazing, he says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. So the more dependent you are on him to be your need meter, the less tempted you will be, distracted you will be, compromising where you know you don't want that. But see, I've already heard from you. You want to do what's right in God's sight. And I'm hearing that you are going to do what's right in his sight. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So what are you going to tell him? Speak into the microphone, the headpiece.
No, as I said, I already blocked his number, I'm not going to have a conversation with him.
Okay. All right. Are you resolute then? That's what I'm hearing. You're going to hold.
I am resolute.
I am so proud of you.
I am resolute.
I am proud of you. See, you're choosing right so that you won't choose wrong.
Amen.
Good for you. Well, we're going to send you our material on sexual integrity that you can share with others along the way to help them. You continue to hang on to God's hope.
If you would like to access our materials, our biblical counseling keys, sexual integrity, balancing your passion with purity. Please do call our Hope Care Center now, and our representatives are ready to take your calls at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Our materials and past programs are available on the website at hopefortheheart.org. Also, want to mention the downloadable app. It's a free download. It's available on your App Store or the Google Play Store. It is called Hope for the Heart, and you can access resources and programs there as well. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying, you hang on to hope.